For the long-term unemployed in an economy that seems to penalize people who have been out of the workforce for a long time, do long-term unemployment benefits have the effect of solidifying the situation in some way? Is there a spark that might move the unemployed to make a transition back into the labor market, a spark that is somehow extinguished by a steady unemployment check? Well, they're trying to answer that question in the state of North Carolina, where the state's unemployed are eligible for 20 weeks of benefits, down from 73, with reduced benefits as well. North Carolina led the way as the federal government at the end of last year allowed long-term unemployment benefits to expire for approximately 1.3 million Americans. Paul Tine is a North Carolina state representative. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you supported this reduction in benefits and the ending of unemployment benefits after 20 weeks when North Carolina put this into effect, right?
I did.
And Jaslyn Roberts, you're with us as well, right?
Yes, I am.
A Career Center director for Charlotte Works, a job training organization. And when that happened in the legislature, you began to see changes in the kinds of people and the sorts of questions people were asking at your organization?
Yes, we did. We started to see a little bit of a spike in those who are coming in to get benefits, or really to get assistance for help so that they can get back to work very quickly.
All right. Without blaming the unemployed for their issues and for what's going on with them, Paul Tine, is there a way to listen close to the ground and learn what the impact of this legislation has been in the economy for the long-term unemployed, Paul?
Well, sure. This is a ugly fix to an ugly problem. I'm not going to sit here and say that we got it absolutely perfect, but it's about trying to find the right balance where you give people the help they need to move from one job to the next while we also take care of a major problem, which was about $2.5 billion worth of debt.
What sorts of stories are you hearing of the impact this is having, either negative or positive?
Well, we're hearing about some people getting back to work faster, but we're also hearing about folks that are still struggling. I have a very rural area with high unemployment rates, and quite frankly, we don't have all the jobs out here that we need. So we really have to focus on building the economic environment that's going to help people get back to work by providing some jobs.
So, Jaslyn Roberts, how do you balance or negotiate or navigate this cruelty versus wake-up call issue? Because certain people are going to be just sort of dropped off the cliff here, while others are going to be motivated to take some real action.
Well, at Charlotte Works, we see a broad spectrum coming into the organization. Those that are newly unemployed, we also see the long-term unemployed and some of those who have received benefit cuts. We provide a large array of services so that individuals who may need skill enhancements can get the funding so that they can get back to work very quickly. It is a very supportive environment that includes workshops and also the opportunity to work with career coaches, because each person who comes in, they have a different story and they have different needs. So we focus on understanding what the individual's needs are, including looking at their background and experiences, and then create a customized roadmap so that development can continue. Because everyone who does come in, their ultimate goal is to get back to work.
Are you seeing motivation as a result of these benefit cuts or desperation?
We see a combination of both. Again, it's because we have such an array of folks that are coming in. There are folks who come in who no longer have any benefits. So we do see a little bit of the desperation. We also see the motivation. And so we ensure that we can address both.
Can you help people? Have you been helping people?
Oh, we've had some really good successes. We get a lot of great testimonials from individuals who land after going through training through Charlotte Works, and also because it's such a supportive environment.
During the Clinton administration, the ending welfare as we know it was painful in the beginning. But in the end, people felt like, oh, well, it wasn't so bad and we're saving money. I'm wondering, Paul Tine, if there's a lesson here and if some of the cruelty of this decision is going to be overlooked as time goes on and forgotten, while only the successes will be pointed to.
Well, one of the things is that I think you're looking at it different than I did when I was trying to make my decision on this bill that's now law. Is I wasn't looking to penalize them or to say that they weren't moving fast enough. We had to create the right economic development or the right economic environment for to grow jobs. And with $2.5 billion worth of debt, with the increases for the payback to the federal government, you know, what if we hit another economic downturn? That significant debt was hurting our economic growth. And you need the jobs, you need the economic growth in order to be able to give a place for these people to go to other than what should be a short-term benefit to move people from one job to the next. So I don't look at it exactly the same way that you do, but I think we need to be able to grow the jobs, and this was an important piece of it.
But Representative Tyne, if you can't grow those jobs, if the reduction in the debt doesn't deliver on this promise of economic growth, are you on the hook for constituents?
Sure, and I think we need to make some changes to the bill the way that it is right now. I ran some amendments on the floor that would have made it a little bit more moderate. It would have brought up the minimum payment to make it a little bit better. And I'm trying to adjust the weeks also, so that, because right now it's a trigger to a statewide unemployment number. We have some counties that are as, you know, low as 5%. We have some counties in double digits. And so, you know, one number across the state makes it very difficult for these different counties. So we need to make some changes. Like I said, this is an ugly fix to an ugly situation. We got in it together and we have to figure out how to get out of it.
Jaslyn Roberts, what would you say is the message from the economic situation in North Carolina to the rest of the nation beginning to grapple with some of these same issues?
Well, just from working with the individuals who come into Charlotte Works, being prepared for, you know, all eventualities, particularly having the experiences that you need to obtain employment and also to continue to have employment, to be long-term unemployed. We encourage our clients to look more for a career versus a job, which is also the reason why we provide the kind of services that we do.
Would you say this change in the benefit structure in North Carolina, Jaslyn, was a mistake? Or did it work out in your view?
Well, you know, our focus really is on the, you know, is on the consumer, on the client that comes in. And as you, you know, mentioned earlier, sometimes they do come in a little bit frustrated. And so what we try to do is really work with them through the frustration, you know, irregardless of the circumstances that they're in. Again, our focus is to help them get back to work.
Jaslyn Roberts is Career Center Director for Charlotte Works, a job training organization. And State Representative Paul Tyne is a Democrat from North Carolina's 6th District. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, the brain training program designed by neuroscientists and used by 50 million people, created to improve memory and attention. More at Lumosity.com.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.